When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Love God, love neighbor. A message as simple and as complicated then as it is now. It answers the questions we all need to ask as followers of Jesus Christ. How do we live together in this world? How do humans who have free will and the propensity to sin against God and one another learn to love all people created in the image of God? How do we learn to value each person, care about them and their needs, and be not only content with our own lives, but grateful for each day we have on this planet? Over 1,000 years before the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, the people who had been freed from enslavement were needing to answer these same questions. They had been brought together in Egypt from different cultures, different languages, different traditions. They were young and old. We know they were rich and poor because some had gold. They were believers and non-believers. And now they gather at the foot of Mount Sinai. Their lives would depend on how well they listened and learned. The old ways of life would have to be overcome in order for them to move forward as the people of the one true God who loves them, frees them, and is giving them an opportunity for an abundant life together. The first four commandments God spoke that day were about how to love God. Have no other gods. Let nothing become an idol for you. Do not use the name of the Lord God as if it has no significance. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. These commandments keep God in the center of our lives. They remind us of the wonder and majesty of our Creator and the importance of our words and actions in response to God's love. Jesus sums these up with his words. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment." And we live in relationship not only with God, but with one another. We share this planet with people who are as complicated and difficult as we all are at times. We bicker, we become jealous, we seek our own glory. We separate and isolate based on a myriad of things, from ideas and beliefs to misunderstandings and long-held grudges. The last six commandments God spoke to the people below are all about how to do this most difficult of tasks, live well together. Jesus summed it up with these words in a second as like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Those six commandments are found in Exodus 20, beginning with the 12th verse. "Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slaves, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." Today we're looking at the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, and the sixth, you shall not murder. Full disclosure, when I planned this series, I didn't think how odd it would feel to put those two commandments together. I was just thinking about, let's do a couple at a time. But as I wrote, I began to understand how all of these commandments are intertwined. And I understood the power of the words of Jesus. The commandments can be summed up in two, love God and love neighbor. Yet even as he sums them up, Jesus teaches us the intricacies and nuances of these commandments and how they impact every area of our lives. Following Jesus will lead us to recognize how often we put obstacles in our own path, seek to do the least we can instead of the most we are able, and forget the beautiful heart of God, love. Honor your father and mother. I want to stop and acknowledge that for some hearing me this morning, this commandment brings pain and anguish. They've been abused, neglected, harmed by someone who is supposed to be their parent, the one to protect, love, and raise them. This commandment in no way sanctions or excuses abuse. And it's not about obeying parents who might make unjust demands or exert inappropriate pressure. They are words from the God of love, commanding us to care for the elderly in our world. For thousands and thousands of years and across cultures, this was what was expected. Families would care for one another from birth to death. So it may seem odd that the fifth commandment needs to even be spoken. Yet it is, for God has a heart for the vulnerable, those who could become unseen and diminished as they age and become more difficult to care about and for. God is instructing us to honor, consider us important and worthy, the generations that have come before you. Some you may be related to by birth, but others who are within the greater community around you. Elders who may have protected you in your childhood and mentored you as you grew. Those who taught you by word and deed what love sounds like, what it can look like, and you began to believe you mattered. Those who made sure you heard the gospel, the good news that Jesus lived, died, and rose because you are a child of God. The elderly who are part of your church family. We honor these people by listening to them, speaking well of them, caring for them when they need us, and sometimes before they even ask. It's not always convenient. It requires time, attention, and compassion. It requires love. Look with me to a moment when Jesus clearly teaches this commandment. He's on the cross. His earthly life will soon cease. His ability to care for his mother as a Jewish son is coming to an end. But his love for her will never die. It will be up to his followers to be a family for his mother, Mary. I'm reading from John 19. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. John was given the honor to care for a woman to whom he was not related and for whom he was forever joined by the shared love of Jesus. No wonder he refers to himself as the disciple Jesus loved. He was entrusted with a great gift, a great responsibility, and a greater blessing. And that is the way it works. When we choose to honor the older people in our lives, we honor God and we are blessed. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Three words. In some biblical translations, it is do not kill. Three words, which we're still debating. What does it mean to kill? What is murder? Manslaughter? Drunk driving? Here's what I know. Last weekend, there were over 400 shootings in our country. Last week, 60 girls were killed while they were going to school by a bombing in Afghanistan. This week, the missiles are being hurled between Palestinians and Jews in the Holy Land, and people of all ages, faiths, are being killed. I'm going to ask that we listen to the heart of God who created humanity in God's own image. God who placed within each of us a possibility of who we can be if we would follow this commandment. People who would live in love, peace, unity. Listen to these words of Jesus. He's taking this ancient command, this moral code, and expanding it so that even those of us who are not inclined to murder have cause to own that by our actions and words, we too can and do harm the image of God in another person. From Matthew 5, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire." An insult, a slight, a verbal barrage of comments and labels, gossip, prejudicial behavior, unexamined assumptions, words. Words will always matter. And for the people 3,000 years ago at Mount Sinai, to the people in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, to you and I today, words need to be handled with great care and love. We are responsible for what we say, what we choose to email, what we copy and paste and share. No, it may not lead to the murder of a human, but it can cause immeasurable harm to our relationships and our ability to share this earth and thrive while we're on it. We are living in a war of words right now. We must do better. Jesus again in Matthew 5. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven." This is even hard to hear and harder to do. Listen to these words from Adam Hamilton to help us understand the why behind Jesus' words. This gets to the center of Jesus' ethic. When we read the commandments through the eyes of Jesus, we recognize that the command prohibiting murder is ultimately a command calling for love. Loving one's enemy does not mean summoning warm feelings for them. It is to see them as a human being created in the image of God and to treat them as you wish they had treated you. As you wish they had treated you. Honor the people around you who are serving the role of parent in your life. A neighbor, a teacher, a person next to you in the pew, honor them as you wish to be honored yourself someday. Speak words that you're proud of, that carry with them blessings, not curses, hope, not despair, healing, not anger. Speak to others as you wish they would speak to you. Look deeply into the eyes of those you might call your enemy and seek to find in them the image of God that you wish they would see in you. This is not wishful thinking. It's the way we must learn to live. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let me close us our prayer with these words from the 11th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. Beautiful words of God's desire for all of creation. Let's pray. "The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Amen.